Come get on the train.
Wait a minute.
Hit it.
Welcome into the Sports Buffoons Podcast.
Oh, what's going on out there, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? Welcome on in to the Sports Buffoon Studios here. Not in Alaska, Kansas. We're actually at the Argosy Casino here in Riverside, Missouri, this time for y'all. I'm having some sippy sips and drinking drinks, some agua as well along the way. I'm here just kind of doing our thing. So we've talked about gambling a lot over our course of our time as sports performers. And I feel like, doing the show here today was the perfect way to represent what we're all about. And you guys know you follow us throughout the year, throughout the sports betting of the Easy Money Picks of the Week. You guys follow us throughout football season for that kind of stuff. And so we figured, why not show out here and make a representation of our favorite casino in Kansas City of Argosy. What's going on, JG?
Not much, man. I'm just sipping on this fucking old-fashioned. You know, they ran out of bitters here, but it's still really, really good. So happy to be with you all, supporting the Sports Buffoons. And let's get it cracking, man. What do we got going on today, Mike?
Oh, all kinds of stuff today, of course. I mean, it's football season's right around the corner, so I'm looking forward to that, first and foremost. I do want to make a quick announcement real quick. So, Mr. Tanner Dawson, our main man, he's off for the day. That's all good. He deserves a little time off as well. God, we all have stuff going on in our lives. So, Tanner Dawson will be back sometime shortly, of course, as usual. But for today, at least, we're going to sit here and we're going to talk a little gambling for a few minutes at least and sip off some stuff. So, I got the Broadway Brewing Imperial Stout. It's called You Only Live Once or something like that.
YOLO.
Something like
that. It's called
YOLO. Well, it's also like a big one. It's a 14%er.
It's a big cock.
It's a big 14%er, so.
Everybody appreciates big cocks.
Yeah, big cocks wrapped in whiskey bottles.
Cheers, bro. Give me some.
There you go.
You got whiskey yourself,
so. Mine's just covered in some goodiness of chocolate and stout. So stout.
That tastes pretty good. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, pretty interesting. First and foremost, guys, we have some Chiefs talk to get to. We're going to do a little fantasy football. Who would we be gambling on this season to be willing to place your draft pick on, your draft selection on? You don't want to waste any draft picks as a manager of your fantasy team. And it's one of the most important things you can ever do to find those guys who a lot of people are uneasy about, are unsure about. You see them slide in the draft. People that are unsure and unconfident, you're the gambling man. You're going to make that decision confidently. So we're going to go into that for a little bit, as well as our thoughts on everyone's favorite topic this week, running backs. So, of course, we hit on that for a few minutes. But first and foremost, guys, the Chiefs training camp kicked off this week. The rookies and quarterbacks have shown up to St. Joe, Missouri, to get it going underway. You've already seen a couple highlights. If you guys can follow along on Twitter, Patrick Mahomes throwing a little pass to a undrafted wide receiver free agent. But I'm not even totally sure who he is. Either way, it's still good to see the guys out there getting ready, getting rolling. And that way, whatever this coming Monday comes around, the rest of the team is going to be showing up to practice. So looking forward to seeing all this unfold, guys. We'll be there August 5th is our plan, so we'll be there all day. Obviously, it's going to be a big day. It's a Saturday. Lots of people there, lots of fans there. But we normally go on weekends, so I'm looking forward to going on Saturday. What do you think, man?
Oh, man, I'm looking forward to something new this year. The great thing about it is that the wineries are going to be open this time. And I think that when we went last year, the wineries were closed because we did a middle
week. It was a Wednesday.
I mean, my gosh, it fucking rained. And we didn't even get a chance to go to the camp that year. So last year, it sucked. But this year is going to be a little bit different. As long as it doesn't rain, we're going to get to go to the wineries and the whiskey bar and all that bullshit. But, it's going to be better than last year for sure. And so, Chiefs camp is always a great thing. I can remember my first Chiefs camp. when Alex Smith was the quarterback. And, you know, I think it was like a couple of years after we went to camp, or maybe it was the next year after that, they won the fucking Super Bowl. I think it was Patrick Mahomes' first year.
So I remember we went to Patrick Mahomes' rookie season training camp. You get to watch the real deal in person, which was so awesome. I mean, you get to see him. And then also get to see him in preseason and some of the things he did as a rookie back then. Obviously, 2020 or 2018 was an incredible year where he put up 50 touchdowns, over 5,000 yards in his first ever season as a quarterback. And so we get to be the witness of seeing some of that stuff unfold from early stage. And then the fourth year after that, I mean, you're Super Bowl champions. So, yeah, I mean, that's awesome stuff. And that's one of the great things about training camp, you guys, is going out there and seeing some of the guys that are young dudes. You know nothing about this. Rasheed Rice, of course, wide receiver, and taking this year at SMU in the second round. You have Felix Anubike, who's going to be a part of this team, hopefully for a very, very long time, who's going to be expected to walk in from pretty much day one, make an impact on the DN position. And there's a lot of other guys on the list as well who we're looking forward to watching in training camp. So, JG, who is your number one prospect as a rookie coming in that you're looking forward to watching the most?
So the guy that I'm looking forward to watching the most this year in training camp is the running back, Denaire Prince. So we always want to watch the running back room when you're looking at the Chiefs because he's an undrafted guy. So obviously, you know, it's a running back room that's got a lot of guys in there. You know, we've got Michael P. Ryan, CEH, Jarrett McKinnon. And so Denaire Prince is a guy that ran a 4.41 at the combine, 6 foot, 216 pounds. He was the fourth fastest 40 time among running backs. He's an undrafted free agent. And he was a projected late round pick that never got drafted. But when he was in Tulsa, he averaged 5.5 yards per carry. And he's got a little bit of upside as a receiver, but he needs a little bit better ball security. And so, you know, we're going to talk about this a little bit later in the show in terms of, you know, running backs and how they are undervalued in the NFL. And so you've got a guy on the Chiefs in Denaire Prince, and we just want to see, you know, if we can get him some reps and, you know, see if that speed translates to the NFL, because, you know, the speed is fucking amazing for Denaire Prince. And so I want to see what happens with him. But, you know, what do you got, Mike? Who are you looking forward to in camp?
Yeah, just want to hit up real quick. I mean, I love the guy you're talking about watching this year, because, you know, what's funny about that is last year, everyone cared about watching Isaiah Pacheco in training camp. That's what we all were there. Like, you heard all these raving reviews about Pacheco making this play and that play in camp. And then, you know, we showed up. We saw some things there, or I saw some things there in Ireland last year on my own. And you saw him make some plays in the receiving game. And it was like, is this guy really going to be involved? He's a seventh-round draft pick. Is it possible for him to really be that involved? Well, come to find out, absolutely it is. And Denaire Prince is undrafted free agent. Chiefs might find themselves a steal. I mean, also, we need to find another pounder, a bruiser. Running back by committee is the way of the NFL, which we're going to talk about later on. But I'm looking forward to watching him too. So, I mean, I like a big body, fast dude. I want to see if we can get a guy that can be used as, you know, that goal line back. I'm hoping he can be that kind of guy.
Yeah, I think the thing about Isaiah Pacheco is that, you know, he's already got his Super Bowl ring. But you bring in a guy like Denaire Prince, and you're just like, okay, is this guy going to push me? You know, because all these running backs, we'll talk about it a little bit later, they're looking for that second contract, that third contract in their career. And that's just something that the NFL moving forward, we're not going to see that. You know, it's all about the rookie running backs and what is the next hot thing coming into the league. And so that's, I'm definitely looking forward to that. And Isaiah Pacheco obviously is amazing. I mean, he's the he's an amazing player, but we'll see what Prince brings to the game.
And my number one guy is Andre Coburn, defensive tackle from Texas. Took him a little bit later in the draft, but he's essentially going to be the replacement that we have for Kalen Saunders. Kalen Saunders ended up going up to the Saints, get himself a nice contract, something the Chiefs could not sit there and afford to do while trying to take care of other guys. And eventually, Chris Jones will get a deal done with the Chiefs. He's going to be here long term. I know it's not done yet, but they're working on it. But Keandre Coburn, man, stands out to me because he's being 6'2", 330 pounds, is extremely athletic. Yeah, I love seeing these big guys that are so athletic and can make some great stops in the run game. He's going to be that guy that you rely on down one and two, while on third down, and we'll talk about later, Tershawn Wharton will be the one to step in on the interior for those pass rushing situations. Kyrie Coburn, though, I think he's going to step in right away and make an impact this year. This year, it's a six-round pick.
Yeah.
I love the way he fits into the team because we need to have that. Dirk Nottie has been one of those guys over the course of the last few years. We'd love to have him on the roster, but at the same time, he's not been one of those that excel over the years. He's actually declined over the years, sitting next to Chris Jones, where he's been a rotational piece that gets taken out when he's brought in. I really think Coburn is one of those rotational guys this year that makes an impact, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he can provide.
I agree with you on Coburn because, you know, when you look at the depth chart, that defensive tackle position on the Chiefs is probably the weakest when you're looking from a depth standpoint. Like, we need to have depth at the defensive tackle. Like, there's not a whole lot of weaknesses when you look at that Chiefs roster. But with that's definitely the weakness, by far.
And I know training camp's not always about the hard-hitting things, which it's hard to tell when it comes to D-line and O-line in training camp who's standing out, and other than, you know, footwork and so on. Well, Coburn's one of those guys. I'm looking forward to training camp, but also watching the games unfold preseason. Needs to be a lot of playing time and seeing what kind of plays and splash plays he can make in the run game. Because eventually it's going to be a thing where I think he's going to fit in great. He's explosive. Back in from Texas, I mean, he's just played in big games in his career, of course. Last year, I think he had 4.5 tackles for loss. Only 26 tackles, but that's pretty normal for D tackles. So in most cases. So. Anyways, that's my guy, number one to watch in training camp. A little under the radar, I suppose, compared to your Rasheed Rice and your Felix and DK Uzomah.
So, no concerns for you whatsoever in terms of getting that Chris Jones deal done? It's going to happen no matter what?
I have no concerns about the fact Chris Jones will be a Chief long. That's what I'll say about that. I don't know that it's necessarily going to get done before the season begins, but I think the deal gets done at some point before the end of this season, before the end of the year, put it that way. I think the deal gets done sometime before the end of the year. So I know they're working on it right now. I'm trying to get things situated. Andrew alluded to that he's not sure if Chris Jones is going to show up yet. Not at the current moment. I think Chris Jones will show up for training camp. He's still under contract for one more year, but at the same time, I know there's a lot of focus on, hey, I don't want to be there until I have a new deal, because he is the best player on the defense, and so he should get a new deal. In my opinion, there's people out there willing to trade him away. I'm not one of those people. I want to hold on to Chris Jones. I think he's a vital piece. I mean, you guys watched the Patriots, you know, back in the early 2000s, Richard Seymour was a vital piece of what that defense brought to the table. And they held him around for a long time. Yes, he was with the Raiders later down the road, but even with the Raiders, he was not a bad player. And the Raiders made everyone a bad player. And basically, if you play for the Raiders, you're going to end up sucking.
So you don't see any issues in terms of Chris Jones looking for Aaron Donald money, because that's what I've heard. I've heard rumblings of the fact that, you know, Chris Jones thinks that he's an elite tackle in this league, which by far he is, but he's looking for Aaron Donald money, and that's something that I don't think the Chiefs are willing to give up. Like, where do you rank Chris Jones? Is he number one, number two, number three in the NFL? We all know that he's in that range, but do you think that's going to be a selling point in terms of, like, the Chiefs not being able to make a deal with him?
Up until this last year, Aaron Donald was the number one D tackle in the league. Last year, Aaron Donald took a step back in my opinion. Chris Jones solidified himself as being an impact player finally in the postseason. He got his first sack as a Chief in the postseason, finally getting that taken care of so he can throw that thing away. But also at the same time, I think that he's going to be the guy that you rely on, you know, on the big plays at the end of games. And he has been that way forever. He's right now, to me, the best interior player in all of the NFL when it comes to defense.
So what's the number here? Because I've heard that Aaron Donald would probably make $31 million a year or something like that. Are we looking at 26, 27? I want to know what the number is to get that deal done with Chris Jones, because I think it's somewhere in the 27 to 28 range. But when you're looking at a guy like Aaron Donald, one of the best defensive tackles ever, making $31 million a year, and Chris Jones is not going to get that. What's the number for you, Mike? Is it 26, 27, or somewhere in there?
Right? I mean, you got to look at the contract the Jets just handed out. I mean, so to me, you got to look at that and kind of gauge off of that. And yeah, it's going to be more than what the Jets just handed out. So, I mean, I would expect somewhere around the range you're speaking of, somewhere in the mid to high 20s would be what to expect on a per year basis. But I mean, to me, Chris Jones, one of those guys that luckily he's a D tackle. Those guys can still be productive and make an impact when they're in their early 30s, even mid 30s in some cases. So he's going to be around. He's not the way going away of the dodo bird. His position still value is going to be high, even at late 20s, early 30s, unlike some others. So
I just think that Chris Jones has a lot of leverage here because he knows that the Chiefs fucking need his ass. They fucking need him. And so I think, you know, while he's not going to get Aaron Donald money, I think that he has a lot of leverage here. And so I wouldn't be surprised to see that number tick up into the 27, 28 range.
Yeah, it's very possible. Either way, I know they're going to get a deal done. So to me, that's all I care about. I'm not worried about the numbers necessarily as much as I am just making sure he's here for the next 5 years. That's what I want the most. It's for him to not necessarily finish his career in Kansas City, but I want to get the best out of his life in Kansas City. I know it's a little off topic, but hey, I enjoy talking about it. So, we have guys, we're sitting here at RFC Casino in Kansas City, Missouri. And we have a little gambling discussion to make for you guys out there.
We made way too much fucking money today. That's the problem. So that's why we want to talk about gambling, because we came out ahead, man. We took money from the casino, which I don't want to say that too loud because they're going to hear my ass.
So the good news for you, I don't want the people downstairs to hear you.
Yeah, don't let them hear that.
The good news for you, though, is that you have like a billion draft picks in our draft. You've made old trades that didn't get here, which is awesome. But our topic today is we're going to name off, we're going to go back and forth here. We're going to name off our top three players in your fantasy league that we are most willing to gamble on, to succeed, to win on. We're going to win, you guys, in your fantasy draft. And so that's what we're here to do today. I know some of these guys are going to be a little under the radar. Some of these guys are going to be off the wall from what you normally expect. But these are going to be the guys we're willing to actually go above where they're currently ranked in ADP, in most of these cases, to gamble on, to succeed, and help us win a championship. So, if you want, I'll go first, man. I'm going to steal one of your guys right off the bat.
You steal it.
I don't know who your guys are.
We can talk about it.
Let's do it. Number one for me off the bat, guys, the gambler himself, Calvin Ridley, is my number one pick, and I'm willing to gamble on this season. You know why? First of all, because he's got Trevor Lawrence at quarterback, so I will always take the guy that has a great quarterback, up including quarterback, going into his third season. And we all know the third season is when quarterbacks really start to thrive, and so it's going to be a perfect situation, perfect fit, and he's going to go back to being the old Calvin Ridley we saw just 3 years ago. 1,300 yards and 90 touchdowns or whatever it was, the Falcons. He's going to care about football again. You know why he cares about football again? Because Doug Peterson's a head coach. he was pissed off being the Atlanta Falcon, because who wants to be an Atlanta Falcon back then in that situation? No one wants to. It's a shitty situation.
Michael Vick?
You hate your job. You hate your job at that. When you go to the Jacksonville Jaguars right now, you don't hate your job. You don't mind Doug Peterson's there. Trevor Lawrence is there. You have a future. You also have a lot on the rise. You're excited to want to be there. The whole culture of Jacksonville right now as an organization has finally shifted back to where it used to be in the late 90s with Tom Coughlin, but this time with a better coach. That's right, I said. So to me, Calvin Ridley is going to be your guy. You should be gambling on. I will be gambling on. And that's going to be my number one dude that I think a lot of people are going to sleep on and say, oh, he doesn't like football anymore. He's not into it, blah, blah, blah. Nah, screw that. Give me him all day.
Yeah, he's got blow up potential just because, you know, he gambled, you know. We got a gambling segment here, and Calvin Ridley got caught gambling, and he's getting ready to get back into his career. So I love that pick, Mike. I'm going to start from the bottom here. I'm going to go 3-1. We've got three guys each. My guy that I want to gamble on this year is something that you would not expect from the JG, and that is J.K. Dobbins. The reason I want to gamble on J.K. Dobbins is it's kind of like the opposite that the J.G. would normally do. I fucking hate guys that have injury-prone careers. We talk about it in the NBA all the time. Guys like Anthony Davis, you know, they get hurt every fucking year. We get pissed off. J.K. Dobbins is that guy. But the reason why I want to gamble on J.K. Dobbins is because he averages 5.9 yards per carry, and he's only 24 years old, guys. Does not have a lot of mileage on those legs. His ADP is 51 in drafts right now. And so if I can get J.K. Dobbins in the fifth or the sixth round, I'm going to do it all day long. That's an easy, easy gamble, because his upside, I mean, we don't even know what his upside is. I mean, the fucking guy is an elite athlete. And so that's the first guy that I want to bet on if I'm taking a gamble this year is J.K. Dobbins, because of his yards per carry, the fact that he's been injury prone. Basically, it feels like his whole career. We've never even seen the guy. And so that's, I'm going to bet on J.K. Dobbins. He could be, I mean, to me, his upside is the leading rusher in the NFL. And I'm not going to be surprised if that happens this year.
Yeah, I love that pick. And one of the reasons I love that pick is because of some of the news that came out about a month ago or two or whatever about how Lamar Jackson's going to be used less as a runner than before on designed running lanes. So where do those touches go to? Well, in most of these run situations, I mean, Dobbins can handle that work. And so that's what I'm planning on. Also, you guys know how much I love yards per carry. Yards per carry is one of my favorite stats in the history of the entire NFL. It's something I engage a lot of my beliefs on when I look at old historic players along the, you know, along the lines in the history of the league. It's one of the reasons why I've always kind of been an anti-Eddie George guy over the course of my time. Because that 3.9 yards per carry still doesn't do it for me, you guys. Dobbins up there, the fives, is something I actually love. So I think that he's a really good player, guys. If he can stay healthy and just all that stuff, I mean, it's just, he's a good one. He's a really, really good player, and I think he's a great one to go ahead and game one. So I agree with
you. And I know, you know, before you go to your next one, Mike, like, I know that you're a little bit different than I am in terms of injury-prone players, because I just write guys off. If they're guys that get injured every single year, I write them off. But to me, J.K. Dobbins' upside is so huge that I don't care about his injury history. So is that not where you're at on J.K. Dobbins?
Yeah, I feel like that. My one is going to maybe surprise you here in a little bit. My next one on my list is Kyle Pitts, tight end for the Atlanta Falcons. I know how you might feel about him after last season, Jason. But to me, so the Falcons, you know, the Pittsburgh Falcons, the knee injury, shelved him at midseason. And I don't want us to lose sight of what his upside and capabilities are. And I know we're talking about tight ends, you guys. And last year I told JG before the fantasy season began, I was high on Kyle Pitts. And I told him, basically, you're getting like a almost near Travis Kelce amount of talent for a third round pick or whatever. Turns out that was not at all the case any longer. Marcus Mariota looks like he's going to be, from here on, put aside for a while. Desmond Ritter's going to step in at quarterback. And I think they're going to be leaning on Kyle Pitts quite a bit. I think Kyle Pitts should not be given up. I think the guy we saw his rookie year put 1,000 yards. That's not by accident, you guys. That's not an accident that happened. He was the 8th overall pick, right? I mean, that's what I'm talking about. The guy might have had a bad year last year, and it was not pretty. I'm not going to lie. He had some drops even. I mean, it wasn't into it, which I get. Once again, it's a Falcon. The Calvin Ridley situation with the Falcons was bad. Cal Pitts right now might be unhappy with the situation. But at the same time, that talent prospect right there you have in your hands, Cal Pitts should not be overlooked. I want to compare this a little bit to Evan Engram and some of his situations he's had in his career going up with the Giants. We saw that rookie year with Evan Engram, which was badass. I mean, Evan Engram, right away, out the gates, Evan Engram, you can tell, was so talented. He was going to put up numbers. Well, slowly but surely, you find out, don't go down. Injuries pile up, as well as just some bad ball by the way. Well, he's going to the Jaguars, and Evan Engram seems like he's kind of like an old player again. So I'm thinking Kyle Pitts can make that happen, but while also still being a thug, not having to leave his current situation. I believe in Kyle Pitts to put up numbers, and you can get him this year at a better value than you got him the year before. And so for me, that's why he is one of my gambles of the fantasy season.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I don't mind your gamble on Kyle Pitts. While I am pissed off at him, I just have to take a step back and understand that he did have Marcus Mariota as his quarterback. So I'm not going to put the blame on Kyle Pitts, you know, because he had Mariota as quarterback, because, you know, his upside is still there. You know, he's going to be, you know, with Desmond Ritter this year. So we don't really know what to expect with Desmond Ritter. But I like your pick, Mike, because I think the upside is there with Kyle Pitts. I'm going to move on to my number two fantasy player to gamble on. I'm going to go with the quarterback here, Geno Smith. Guys, everybody in the world that I've heard talk about Geno Smith says that last year it was just a one-off. You know, they all say that, yeah, you're good. You're a good quarterback, but you're not that good, right? And Geno Smith had 4,200 yards last year, 30 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. And when I look at the schedule for Geno Smith this year, the NFC West is not that daunting. He's got the Rams twice. He plays against Tennessee, Pittsburgh, Washington, Cleveland, Carolina. I do not think that Geno Smith was a fluke last year. I know a lot of people are going to look at this and say, like, well, you know, he's just a mediocre quarterback that probably going to take a step back this year. I'm not buying that. If you want Geno Smith, fuck it. Take him as your starter in fantasy this year. If you can get, like, a late round pick and have Geno Smith as your starter, maybe if you've got, like, Patrick Mahomes as your starter and Geno Smith as a backup, I think this guy's for real. So I do not think he's a fluke. That's my biggest point about Geno Smith is, like, don't think that he's going to take a step back this year, because I don't think it's going to happen. He's still got Tyler Lockett, DK Metcalf, Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's got all of the receiving options. Kenneth Walker at the running back position. Pete Carroll, really good head coach. I mean, what's not to love about the Seahawks this year? So I think Geno Smith is a guy that I'm willing to gamble on, because I think he's going to take a lot of people by surprise this year.
Yeah, I think he's a great pick as a low-end QB. I mean, he's not going to put up your numbers like a Patrick Mahomes or like a Josh Allen or, you know, those kind of guys, obviously. But I think if you're drafting and you're loading up another talent on your roster, he's an awesome pick to have. I love the situation too, man, because, you know, we talk about Geno Smith in the situation in the receiving group, and you've got, like you said, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, add in Jackson Smith and Jigba, who's going to be one of the best short yardage receivers in the entire NFL from day one. Yes, that's right, from day one, you guys.
It's Jigba.
That's going to be kind of his blanket in a lot of ways. It's his safety blanket. It's going to be Jackson Smith and Jigba. While well, some of the other guys can get open, I mean, down the field for grabs. I think it's going to be awesome. I think Geno Smith is finally in a great situation with a great coach. And I'm happy to see it happen, you guys. I wish it would have happened 10 years ago. You know, unfortunately, 10 years ago, we got drafted to the Jets in the second round where careers go to die. And so I'm glad he's out of that situation and can move on and do better things. Of course, Jets these days are a little different because, you know, they evolved. They've changed themselves slightly.
You just said that that's where players go to die, and you just said it 10 years ago.
Well, 10 years
did
ago,
we not give Geno Smith a little bit of credit on the fact that he was able to overcome that situation? How many? I'm not even just talking about the Jets here. How many teams have we seen over the years where players go to die, and it's just like you think they're a good quarterback, and their career's over? Like, it's been 10 years. Do we not give Geno Smith a little bit of credit there in terms of, like, what does the future of his career look like? Like, I think he's a legitimate star quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, no, absolutely. He deserves a lot of credit for it. I mean, whenever you can come from that situation and then prevail and come out and become a really quality, above average, or really good quarterback out of that situation, or even any player for that matter. Most players went there to literally end their career at one point. And it's not good. I mean, the only team that still does that is Raiders. The Raiders are a situation where your career, you're drafted there, it's over. You go there as a veteran, it's over. Derek Carr might be one of those next guys that comes out, you know, at this stage and loses the Saints and his career's revived. I'm willing to bet on that too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I think Geno's done a badass job, especially maturity wise over the course of the years, where he's become a true veteran and aged very finely over the course of time. It's not very often you see a guy who you presume is a bust, all of a sudden then prove out in his 30s. He's actually worth a shit. Well, Geno Smith's done that. And he's in a great situation. It's only making him even better. Right now, going into year, you know, 2, 3, and 4, which is the others. So, that's my point. I got one more guys online for this one. He said, except surprisingly, you're not going to like this. Rashad Penny is on my list of guys I'm willing to gamble on. Only because he's with a great organization. Philadelphia Eagles. I love the situation he's in. I love the Philadelphia Eagles picking up on Rashad Penny, giving him another shot. Mr. Injury Prone himself, who got just 5.7 yards per carry. That is going to be the key to me. Is that, yes, he might have missed like 40 of the last 82 games in his career. But I'm willing to take a flyer. When I say flyer, I mean, guys, late. I'm not putting down $500 on this bet.
12th round, motherfucker.
I'll put down $5 on this bet. I'm not putting down $500. This is not some kind of guarantee or any easy money pick or whatever the fuck. This is a. I'm willing to put a flyer. I'm willing to gamble on Rashad Penny with a, 13th rounder, as you just said. Something like that. You know, something way late in your draft. Only because of the situation he's in. Because he's going to possibly be getting quite a few carries, more than we realize. And obviously his upside is there. If you guys have followed along over the course of his career, whenever he has played, he's been one of the most elusive running backs in the entire NFL. He's been one of those guys that breaks the most tackles in the NFL. He's always making an impact when he's on the field. So that's the key, when he's on the field. And I don't know how long he's going to be on the field, but I'm going to go ahead and roll my dice one more time. If he fails me one more time, then I don't know. But for now, I'm going to say Rashad Penny's my last gamble of the year.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it because you said 13th round.
Late. Which is still gamble, but I'm not going over here trying to throw down some kind of 8th round pick.
Yeah, I don't mind a 13th round pick because the JG just traded away his 13th round pick, so I'm not even going to have a chance at it. But, I don't mind it that much. I mean, Yeah, there's a decent amount of upside there, thanks to the Eagles. So I can respect that, Mike. So my last player that I want to gamble on, it should be no surprise to people who listen to this fucking show. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. So it feels like the whole world, nobody wants to gamble on Aaron Rodgers. And I'm going to give you some investment advice here. If you're talking about fantasy football, or whether you're talking about Bitcoin, or any other investments that you may want to do in your whole lifetime, you want to buy low. So when the whole world is against Aaron Rodgers and they hate his fucking guts, that's the exact moment that you should probably bet on him and gamble on him. Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be 40 years old, guys, in December. And 40-year-old quarterbacks, over the history of the NFL, they do not do very well. Okay? When you're talking about 40-year-old quarterbacks that have won playoff games in the history of the NFL, you're talking about Brett Favre, Drew Brees, Peyton Manning, and George Blanton. That's it.
You're Tom Brady.
Well, yeah, of course, Tom Brady. But I kind of take him out of the picture because he's the GOAT. So you're talking about 40-year-old quarterbacks that win playoff games. It does not happen very often. But the reason I'm willing to gamble on Aaron Rodgers is because he's won two of the last three MVP awards in the NFL. So a lot of people like to talk shit on him, and I don't care what your political views are, it does not matter. Like, the guy knows how to fucking play football. And last year he had 3,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, with a shit show roster of Green Bay Packers. So Aaron Rodgers is a guy that I'm willing to bet on this year, because this might be his last rodeo. This could be the last dance for Aaron Rodgers, and if it's not this year, it's probably next year. So he has a lot to prove. Because, you know, like I said, he's won two of the last three MVP awards, but the whole fucking world talks shit on him every fucking day that I turn on the fucking television. So, Aaron Rodgers, I'm going to bet on him that he's going to fucking explode this year in fantasy. He's not going to win the fucking Super Bowl. You know, I heard somebody saying that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, if you're not going to win the chip, you're not going to win the Super Bowl this year, then shut the fuck up. Well, I'm going to call bullshit on this, because he can still take the Jets to the promised land in terms of winning that fucking division. Because you guys know, you listen to JG, I am low on the Buffalo Bills. You know, I think the Miami Dolphins have a good chance to win this division. But the Jets are right there. So I'm not going to be surprised if the New York Jets win that fucking division. Not going to be surprised if they go to the Super Bowl, honestly. They're probably not going to happen. But why don't we just put them in the AFC Championship against the Chiefs right now? Can we do that, Mike? Because that's probably what the fuck's going to happen. Aaron Rodgers is not a bum. And all these motherfuckers out here, they talk about him like he's a fucking bum. Dude, he just won the MVP too at the last 3 years, so you guys are the guys that need to shut the fuck up, not Aaron Rodgers.
No, in my mind, if Brett Favre can do it at 40, then why can't Aaron Rodgers do it at 40? So, also, both great teams. I mean, Brett Favre, he's 40 years old, had, at the time, Adrian Peterson in his prime, Percy Harvin. You had Sidney Rice, who people forgot all about. You had Asante Shenko as tight end. Guys who have just been in plays all the damn place at all. Rodgers has an amazing group of whole team. I mean, the defense is good, the offense looks good. I mean, yeah,
amazing.
If Brett Favre can get to 40, I know Aaron Rodgers can get to 40. So
the fucking roster is amazing, dude.
Oh, that's a good
roster. The roster is fucking amazing.
It's gonna be great. I hope they do well up until they play the Chiefs, of course.
Exactly.
So, that's the main thing right here. Anyways, is that our list right there for the gambling man's out there?
That's it, man. If you all want to come out here and play some blackjack with me, I'll show you how it's really done. But
some real blackjack, yeah.
Watch movie 21. Maybe then we'll get some ideas.
Yeah,
watch movie 21.
I agree with that. One more thing, we'll just hang on for a few minutes. Nothing crazy, guys. This is a running back situation. I'm sure those of you out there that have been listening to 610, 810, or whatever radio stations is you have wherever you're living at, I'm sure the topic has been all about how the running backs are upset. How do you fix the situation? What are you going to do about it? And we're taking a few minutes to talk about it, I guess, to ourselves, because to me, this is not a surprise. This was not a surprise at all, in my opinion, to see this sudden, excitement from the running backs to come out. They have their own text thread. I'm sure they're talking amongst themselves. They're trying to figure out something where they can get paid for it. And it's hard because the way things are structured right now, running backs, your value is only as good as your youth. And that's the way the NFL team looks at it, because your youth, these days, obviously, we all go running back by committee. Every team has at least two running backs that they rely on, sometimes three running backs. They rely on more for the Patriots, maybe four. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with doing it. We're all trying to win football games. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the teams are trying to do what the teams need to win games. And if that means keeping your ass healthy, then that means we're going to give you only 10 touches. And whenever it comes to the offseason, we don't value you that much, because we can find another you right down the street. Is the idea, right? That's the idea that the GMs and everything has come up with at this point, is that, well, they're pretty much all the same, but they're not, because there are some elite running backs in this league who are not all the same, that do make a greater impact than others. And what happens is those guys end up being 28 years old and their careers are over in a lot of minds, because no one wants to pay you the money that you think you're worth. Or that maybe you are worth, but no one wants to pay you, especially long term. They might franchise tag you, but they don't want to give you a 5-year, $80 million deal. It's not the way it works for a running back, unfortunately, because these guys are one of the most fun positions to play, one of the most fun positions to watch, historically, one of the most fun positions to take part in and note. I mean, when you look back at the history of the entire NFL, you don't look back necessarily and worry about what Mark Starr did and worry about, you know, going on the Bears back then either. You care about Gale Sayers, you care about Paul Hornung, if I can get that out right. You care about, you know, Jim Brown. You care about Jim Brown. You care about Walter Payton. You know, you care about
Bo Jackson.
Sure, Bo Jackson. You care about, the murderer over there with the Bills for a minute. You care about him, too. You know, Mr. O.J. Simpson. You care about those guys. Those are the guys that made a name for themselves as being the focal point of their team, of their offense especially. And in today's world, we still live that way. I do not want to see the running back position go the way of the fullback, because the fullback at this point is almost extinct. Chiefs, as a matter of fact, have decided we're going to do away with the fullback altogether this year. I'm assuming we're going to have some plays where maybe Blake Bell comes in as a tight end to do some kind of run blocking situation to kind of replace with the fullback provided previously. But anyways, I understand the GM situation. I understand as a GM, why would I pay these guys when I know I can find one next year for free as an undrafted free agent to do the same goddamn thing you just did and pay him next to nothing? So it makes sense from that standpoint. But how do we fix this situation where when running backs in their contracts, and they're 27, 28 years old right now, when that first contract ends, how do they get paid fairly? Or do we just say, fuck them, and it's just too bad? And what do you think about this?
I think the bottom line here is that for running backs in the NFL, you're never going to get paid unless you bring something else to the table. And I'm talking about guys like Christian McCaffrey. So guys like Christian McCaffrey, you can line them up as a wide receiver. And you can't say that about a lot of running backs in this league. And so I think the running back position needs to evolve a little bit. If they want to get that type of money that they're seeking, I think they need to be just have to bring a little bit more to the table, like a guy like Christian McCaffrey. You know, a guy like Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs, don't just be a running back. You know, give us the option, if I'm the offensive coordinator, to line you up as a wide receiver, then I would be much more willing to pay you. In terms of Saquon Barkley, I mean, he's not going to be able to renegotiate that contract until after this season. So he turned down the contract that the Giants gave him, and it's over. And so he's in a position right now, I think he threatened that he was going to hold out the season, and it just doesn't make any sense because the running back market right now is complete trash, right? If you can't line up as a wide receiver like Christian McCaffrey, we are not going to pay you because we'll just draft another fucker next year. And so I think what's probably going to happen in the next collective bargaining agreement is that you're going to see a situation where you're going to see more incentives, right? So if you can meet a certain incentive throughout the season, then we're going to put that into your contract to where, yeah, we're going to give you some more money if you can hit these numbers in terms of rushing and receiving. But if I were Saquon Barkley, I mean, the guy is talking like he's going to hold out, which makes no sense whatsoever, right? He has no leverage in this situation. Saquon Barkley, I mean, the running back position is devalued as it is right now. Absolutely no leverage. If I were Saquon Barkley, what I would do right now is show up to camp. Because the worst thing that you could do if you're Saquon Barkley is start week one, week two, completely out of shape. So Saquon needs to show up week one, week two. He wants to be in football shape. And the best thing that you can do to make that happen is to show up at training camp. But if you want to make a statement against the Giants, just show up to camp, you know, take all your reps, and then sit out week one. You know, sit out week one and two. The motherfucker is not going to throw away $550,000 per game, okay? It's not going to happen. We are not in the days of Le'Veon Bell where we can try to sit out a full year, try to get a big dick contract in the following year, which he did, to his credit. Le'Veon Bell did get a big dick contract in the following year, but he never, and he will never, get the money back that he lost by sitting out in that first year where he sat out. And so I think we're in the day and age right now where Saquon, you know, $550,000 per day, okay. Just make a statement. I have no problem with that. Sit out one game, 2 games. You're going to sit out 2 games, Mike? You're going to throw it. We just gambled here tonight in the casino. You're going to throw away $1 million for 2 games? No, you're probably not. But I think Saquon, if he wants to make a statement, okay, throw away $550,000 game one. But show up to camp, because if you don't get into football shape in camp, you're jeopardizing your entire fucking career by not being in football shape.
Yeah. That's a good point about Saquon's situation, particularly. I know a lot of running backs in particular that are pissed off about the whole situation themselves. I mean, Austin Eckler spoke out about it a little bit. Obviously, Josh Jacobs has some of his own thoughts, which are very valid. But I also want to make one point clear, guys, is that we saw Le'Veon Bell not that long ago being the top running back in the NFL. Guess what it was? It was a year after that he was done with the Steelers. James Conner comes along, puts up numbers either the same or not better than Le'Veon Bell directly after that, as if nothing was ever missed. Nothing ever skipped a beat. In fact, James Conner might have even better in a lot of ways than Le'Veon Bell. And I want that to be clear. That's the mindset of the GMs going forward in the NFL, is that, hey, if you don't want to be here, if you want to sit out and be a dumbass, well, we're going to find a replacement literally tomorrow. And that's the way they're going about it these days. I mean, and it's unfortunate. I mean, I wish some of these guys would be taken care of a little better. But at the same time, the reality is, this isn't the same things that we saw back in the 70s and 80s, in 90s even. I mean, we're never, I think Emmitt Smith's rushing record, career rushing yards, will never, ever be broken. It's too late. It's too far gone. That the rushing title of the all-time career yardage mark, and probably even rushing touchdown mark, will never be broken. The chance for that to ever happen probably was Adrian Peterson. And, you know, he kind of went on, he got old, and so, you know, he couldn't quite hit that mark. And, you know, back then it was like, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, it how these guys in the dirt and somehow they come back the next year and do it again, and do it again, and do it again. And now in today's world, it's like, well, we need you to be receiving back. We need you to be a third down back. We need you to, you know, be the goal line back. We need you to do all these different things. And we have a different guy for each one of those jobs. We pay you all minimum wage. But, you know, we expect you all to do your individual job where you get 5 to 7 touches per game.
I think for me, I just want to find a middle ground because I understand both sides here. From the running back side, the organization side. But if you're looking at it from an organizational perspective, you look at the contract that was signed by Zeke Elliott and what kind of a shit show that turned out to be. Like, just look at that Zeke contract. You will understand what you will understand the organizational side of the argument, but I want to find a middle ground, and that's why I feel like my proposal is the best for the next CBA. Let's get some incentives for these fucking running backs on their second contract, second and third contract. If you're an anomaly who can be productive once you reach that 1,500 total yard mark, or the 2,000 yard mark, whatever that threshold is, then we are going to reward you for reaching that threshold. But I see both sides of the argument, but for Saquon, hey, my God, he doesn't have that much yardage on those legs because he gets injured all the time. And so when you're a guy like Saquon, you get injured all the time. That's where I think my proposal comes into play, because you want to reward these guys with incentives in their contract. You're never going to give these fucking running backs a guaranteed contract. That's never going to fucking happen. But you can incentivize them to go above and beyond. And I think right now, where we're at with Saquon, I mean, he has absolutely no leverage. I feel sorry for the guy, actually, because he's talking like he's going to sit out, but motherfucker's not going to sit out. Good. He's got to make this fucking $10 million, $10.5 million per year on that tag, and that's exactly what's going to happen. He's not going to sit out.
I mean, you brought up a great point there for a minute, as far as how that's why GMs are scared to pay these running backs, is that you've seen so many times historically when the moment a running back is paid, their production falls off drastically.
Yeah.
And that's a big part of why they don't want to pay them these big dollars that they assume that they're deserving. You know, which, yeah, they deserve it for past production, but what GMs are paying you, they want to pay you for what you're going to be doing for the future. Larry Johnson had a holdout back in 2006. Well, he got pounded under the ground, and pretty soon he was a Bengal all of a sudden. I mean, Larry Johnson got paid and hardly did a goddamn thing with his team after he got paid. So
I got a question for you, Mike. So we're talking about running back contracts. I want to know, did Zeke Elliott get the big contract before or after he grabbed those big tits?
It was after the tits.
After the tits. So he got the contract first.
Now, you can,
is that right?
Well, you got paid after the tits.
Wow.
He did the tits and then he got paid.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that was a mistake. So Jerry Jones is not a good general manager. It's not like a newsflash. It's not a newsflash of the world.
They tried to treat Zeke like he was a special player, which he was for like what 2 years.
It's unbelievable.
And so, that's how running backs go. And also they're injured all the time. Wide receivers, they're good with big money because you might get targeted 140 times a season. You might catch 90 passes. You're not taking the beating and the workload a running back does on a play-by-play basis. And so for them, they can last longer, so they're more worthy of being paid longer because you don't have to worry about the injury factor, which running backs, you have to at all times. Isaiah Pacheco started training camp here on the PUP list, which is fine. He's fine, guys. I'm just saying. Running backs are something you always have to take into account, that they're always having something come up injury-wise. You don't have Frank Gore as a role anymore. That's a rare occasion. Frank Gore is the most average goddamn running back in the history of the fucking league. At the same time, he played 16 fucking years.
Hall of Fame.
Maybe, I don't know. But we'll never see another Frank Gore ever in this entire world.
It's just very disturbing to me that Zeke Elliott grabbed the tits first and then got the big dick contract.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, the tits were like a off-season party. He's just fucking around. He's drunk. Grab some tits. You've done that, right?
Well, it would make more sense to me if you get the big contract first and then you go grab.
Well, no, because Zeke was already getting paid by Ohio State. Ohio State was paying his ass anyways.
Yeah.
So he was already getting paid by the college he went to. Okay. Back in the day when that was legal. Well, they were still doing it anyway. Guess what? He was already making money, man. He was happy.
Jerry Jones is not the smartest owner of all time.
Well, why do you think that business is shitty for the last 25, 30 years?
It's pretty shitty, man.
25 years ago,
no, the bottom line is Zeke is the one that set the standard. And he actually drove the market down, which is the only reason why we're having this conversation right now.
Because these running backs are being paid, not doing shit.
I feel like it was Zeke, and probably right before him was Todd Gurley. Todd Gurley was the other guy that got this gigantic, ridiculous contract. And then between him and Zeke, those two guys by themselves drove the market down.
Correct. Yeah. And that's why we're sitting here where we are, where the GMs say, you're not worth the money. The players say, oh, but we're doing all this work. Well, history says to us, sorry, running backs, you guys are awesome. We love watching you, but we can't pay you because we know it's going to happen. We've seen too much previous evidence that it's not worth our time to be paying your asses. And I feel bad for running backs. I mean, you're getting a workload. You're getting a penalty, man. It's a tough job to have a running back in the NFL. I mean, it's not easy. Isaiah Pacheco, I would lose a Chief for the next 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
But the second he is 29 years old, I'm going to be going, I ain't paying his ass. Get out of this house. No, let's move on to the next. And that's just the way it is, man. It sucks. I hate it. I wish it could all be paid fairly, but I think the incentive laid in contracts going forward for running back specifically is the way to go. Where, say you're fucking 32 years old, you put up 1,600 yards on the ground, you 100% deserve to be the top paid running back in the league. You should be getting a huge ass bonus for that workload. If you're Derrick Henry and you're out there, I don't care if Derrick Henry's 35 years old, if you're the top running back in your position that season, you should be getting the most paid. So they have to figure out something in the CBA in the Players Association, figure out a way that maybe they can compensate them fairly, because it's frustrating for the player, and the GMs at the same time are trying to do what's in the best interest of their jobs and what they're trying to do to help this organization. Because I'll tell you what, right now the Chiefs focus, we ain't worried about running backs. We're worried about how are we going to keep Patrick Mahomes healthy and how happy, and how are we going to keep Travis Kelce happy? How are we going to keep Chris Jones happy? Those are the guys we're worried about. Isaiah Pacheco, we think you're fucking awesome. But we ain't that worried about you. We're going to be like worried about, ooh, we got to reach him to hold on for the next 3 or 4 years. Nah, if Darren Prince comes in right now, beats your ass for the job, then see you later.
Yeah.
That's it. That's the way things go. It's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, I think with Saquon Barkley, it's like unfortunate for him because he's like the fan favorite. I think when they polled all the fans in New York, they said like Saquon was the favorite player on the whole fucking team. Meanwhile, they gave Danny Dimes all that fucking money. And it varies different.
And Danny Dimes, to be honest, is an average to below average quarterback in the NFL.
Well, so, without Brian Daboll, he sucks. Without Brian Daboll, he's a shitty fucking quarterback.
The fact that he got paid that much is crazy.
I hope that eventually Saquon does get his money, but it's probably not going to happen this year because he's got to play this thing out. And, you know, make that fucking money, man. $550,000 a game.
Right. All right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up here. Like I said, we are live from Argosy Casino here in Riverside, Missouri. Riverside, that's the home of where Dwayne Bowe tried to find Sonic back in the day. If you guys forgot all about that, well, here we are. And yeah, we're going to hopefully have Tanner back with us soon. I don't know if he's going to be busy next week or not, but we'll see what goes on, guys. And we'll get it going and have some more awesome fantasy topics for you guys going into your draft season. So we want you guys to win your fantasy drafts. That is important to us, as a matter of fact. Because if you come back to us, if you're watching Fantasy Footballers, you say that we told you more information than they did. You know, that's what matters. That proves that we're ahead of those bastards over there on the other YouTube channels. So, anyways, guys, JG, outro. I'll see y'all on the next one.